Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy, committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
Support for WPR comes from Stone Harbor, a Door County resort and conference center with a restaurant and pub overlooking the historic Steel Bridge in Sturgeon Bay. Live music and event schedule at stoneharbor-resort.com.
Now that we've got you appreciating your hands, let's do something with them. Here's cartoonist Linda Barry.
You're going to need a piece of paper that's big enough for your hand to fit on. So anything, it can be a grocery bag, it can be whatever paper's handy, the back of something, or even the front of something. What I'd like you to do is put your non-dominant hand down and then trace it with your dominant hand and feel the edge of the pen touching the sides of your fingers, because that's part of why this is so nice. And once you finish doing that, I'd like you to put a dot in the very center of your palm, the drawn area of your palm on the paper, and then start to do a slow spiral around it as tight as possible. And your job is to try to get the lines as close as possible without touching. And if they touch, you get electrocuted. And for some reason, knowing that you could get electrocuted makes this a much more interesting task. And it'll help you listen.
All right, so that's all. We're just going to trace our hands.
Uh-huh.
While we're listening to
while you're listening, and slow. Slow is a really good thing. You trace it slow, and then you move, and then you make that spiral. You put a dot in there, and then you just let the line spiral around that dot, filling your palm. And then when it fills your palm, after a while, you'll have to skip an area, and it's going to fill your fingers. And by the end, you'll have a psychedelic hand. And you will have you'll notice that you've been able to concentrate better.
This interview is going to be like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happens if you finish before the 10 minutes
then
is up?
You start another one.
It's not every day that you get a drawing lesson on the radio, much less from a famous cartoonist like Linda Barry. But Linda thinks everyone can draw and write, and she's kind of made it her mission in life to teach us all how. Through her graphic memoir how-to books, in workshops, and now with students at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So she gave you that doodling exercise to do while you listen to this interview, because her theory of creativity begins with moving your hands.
It's back to the hand over and over again. These odd living creatures, I call them the original digital devices. They're biofueled. You get two. They're wireless.
And
always with you. You don't leave them anywhere.
They don't go obsolete, and you don't have to buy them from a major corporation.
No.
So, Linda, this is an exercise you give your college students in this class you teach on creativity. Why?
Well, it's from my own experience of noticing that when I'm trying to listen to someone, particularly if somebody's giving a talk or if there's a podcast or something, that if I'm doodling, I don't space out. And some studies that I've read, actually many studies, show that doodling actually helps concentration. And one of the theories is that when we space out, we don't notice that we space out until we space back in. I mean, you know, we've all had that thing where we're listening to someone and we realize we have no idea what they were saying.
Right.
But our faces look like we're listening.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an idea that doing something with your hands can keep you in the room and in the present.
Mm. So this is a class you teach on creativity and drawing, and you have them start out by doodling. I guess they're hoping that under your instruction, they're going to wind up being able to draw something better than just a spiral.
Well, better is a really interesting word. You can't really draw the best or the worst spiral. It's sort of like saying who has the best fingerprint. So really what's interesting about the hand is not what it makes, although that's always interesting, the side effect. What's interesting about the hand is the motion. What my job is, and my favorite people to work with, my absolute favorites, are the ones who come in terrified and feel like they can't draw at all. They've completely given up on hope of ever drawing.
Wait, why are those your favorites?
Because their trajectory from starting in my class to ending up with a completely original style is so much faster. Somebody who comes to my class with a lot of drawing background, basically, they've learned all these things, but mainly what they've learned how to do is not draw badly. And if you learn to not draw badly, you're missing a lot of excitement. You're missing all the monsters and the mess and the place, the swamp where all this stuff comes from. And the other thing, okay, this is another thing that people don't know they can do. I tell my students that I'm going to teach them to be able to draw with two hands simultaneously.
That's a neat trick.
Yeah, everyone can do it, it turns out. You could do it right now if you wanted to. I'd have to give you two.
I can't even draw with my right hand.
I know. That's why I'm going to show you how you can do this.
Okay.
And why I'm not wrong about this.
Okay, you're going to give me two pens.
I'm going to give you two pens. So I'm going to demonstrate. So you put them at the top. And I'll demo
the top
for you.
Of a piece of
yeah,
paper.
Yeah, top of a paper. Piece of paper. And you draw the shape of a head. And maybe my girl's going to have flipped hair. And then we'll draw a neck, shoulders, and then
am I going to do the whole body?
Yeah. But can you see it?
That's bizarre. It looks like mirror images.
Right. So go ahead and put some eyes in there.
But Linda,
Put your eyes in there for a second. Just do it.
Okay.
This is what I'm like as a teacher, the boss. Just keep going, and I'll talk to you about what's happening.
I don't understand why the left, it's coming out so well.
Right. And what you can find out is not only is it coming out so well, you can, with a little practice, tell your left hand to lead. And your right hand begins to follow your left hand. And when you do that, you're actually engaging a completely different part of your brain as the leader. Look at that. Two hands at once. And it felt good, right?
Yeah, it feels really good.
Yeah, so
I don't get why it feels good, but it does. Like, I don't want to stop.
Yeah. I know, right? I mean, this is the thing that...
Like, I like this.
And, I love showing people they can do it because they go from exactly what you did, which is, no, I can't, to, my God, I want to do this all day. It makes me feel good. So you can do that. You can draw with two hands at once. It has to do with our bilateral symmetry. It has to do with the fact that these hands are kind of have a life of their own. They have a disposition toward the world. And when you ask them to work together, you become the spectator and you see that these things are alive. I mean, I always tell my students, think with your hands. If you think that you can look at a picture and go, or a paper and go, oh, I'm going to draw a cuckoo clock. Oh, I don't want to draw a cuckoo. I don't know what a cuckoo clock looks like. If you just get your hand to do just what you did, which is pick these things up and start to move, it's scary. It's like the Ouija board. You know, all of a sudden these drawings start to appear that you feel like you're the first one to see, but you didn't necessarily do it. And it never fails.
But it's so interesting because I remember drawing as a kid. I'm sure you do too. I mean, I must have, I don't know how many pages I filled. I remember there was a time when there was always paper around. I was always drawing, and now I never draw.
Right.
Ever.
And I'd say most kids don't either. Because of the digital devices and because of the strange thing that's happened in education where the body is sort of taken out of it, and particularly the hands. Mm-hmm. So I have, again, this is my first group of students. They're terrified of scissors.
They're scared of scissors?
Yeah, they don't use scissors. So if you give them a circle to cut out, they panic, and they also try to take the scissors, and they hold the paper in one hand, and they try to make the scissors go around the circle. And then I always blow their minds by saying, look, hold the scissors still and feed the paper into it. And they're like, how come nobody ever told me this? How come nobody told me? So they're scared of that. They're terrified of any kind of drawing. I mean, they're so atrophied when it comes to this stuff, and they're so... This is the thing that'll blow your mind. Okay, you know how this blew your mind about doing this drawing with two hands?
Yeah.
I can ask you to draw. Do you want to try it? Want to try something? All right.
Okay.
So I'd like you to, just on one piece of paper, I'd like you to close your eyes. And I'm going to give you 30, not even 30 seconds, but go draw a comb with your eyes closed. A comb, like you comb your hair. Close your eyes and go draw a comb. Good. Okay.
That's it?
Yep. Now draw a pair of scissors with your eyes closed.
Scissors? Oh, my God.
Just see what happens. Let your hand figure it out. Look.
That's terrible.
Is it terrible? So let's think. You just drew that with your eyes closed.
Huh.
And if somebody said for me to pick out which of those shapes is a pair of scissors, it wouldn't be any problem. But this, you did exactly what my students do, which is they do something with their eyes closed, okay? And then they look at the drawing and go, that's terrible. And I think there's the problem, is that this thing that's on the paper that you just made doesn't even have a second to exist before it's deemed terrible. So you never get to see what it is. So, I mean, I have people draw all kinds of things with their eyes closed. Marge Simpson is a really fun thing to draw with your eyes closed.
So where do you go from there? I mean, it was fun. It sort of felt good in a way. But where do you go after drawing with your eyes closed?
It's sort of, with that question, I think it's a good question because I get asked it, but it's sort of like, so you're interested in flamenco dancing, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm your teacher. So I teach you two steps. And when you do them, you feel good. And then you say, yeah, but where do I go with this? It's like, it's our first day of flamenco dancing. And so where you go is back to that. We do it again. And the reason we do it is not to practice so you learn it. It's because it feels good. It feels good. So one of the things I'm interested in, and I finally have the connections here at the university to be able to do something with it, is I'm interested in looking at actually measuring. So a real simple way to measure stress levels is by testing spit. You test your spit before you do something and then afterwards, and that's testing for cortisol. And there have been really interesting studies about singing. They can measure. There are two things. One is a stress-lowering thing, and the other is a marker for the immune system, an immune system boost. And it's documented that people who sing, there is a absolutely measurable lowering of cortisol. The thing that's amazing is if the singer reports that they were into it, really, they got into it, the measurable part is profound.
Wow.
So there have been studies that they did it just out of Dartmouth. Two freshman groups come in, one's a control group, one's this group that's going to engage in drawing. And this is a group that has no interest in drawing, right? So they do drawing, and they have a weekly fMRIs, both mm-hmm. groups. In one semester, the measurable white matter in your prefrontal cortex, there's a difference. There's more white matter from drawing. So prefrontal cortexes are ability, it's self-control and will. It's flexibility in new situations, and it's working memory.
So, Linda, you're basically saying that your theory is that drawing reduces stress, improves the immune system, and makes us smarter.
Well, there are enough reports to say that, yes, it reduces stress. Whether it boosts the immune system or not, one can say reducing stress does help the immune system.
Mm.
And that, if you can lower your cortisol levels by drawing, I mean, if there was a drug that could do that, there are drugs that can do it, but it's highly valued. That we can do it with a piece of paper and a pen. That's where it gets interesting. That's where we look at the biological function of this stuff. And I believe it has an absolute biological function.
So have you ever worked out problems or healed in some way from drawing? Have you had an experience of either some pain or some problem that you just somehow drew your way through?
Yeah, like my whole life. I had a comic strip that ran every week for 30 years, and I think it saved my life. You know, there was another world that came about. There were all these characters that showed up. Everything. I have a little song I sing. A bird with feathers of blue is waiting for you right in your old big pen. You'll find a castle in Spain and your drunk Aunt Jane right in your old big pen. So this is the idea that I had this pen, but it made all these people for me, and it made this world that I would go visit. And I don't feel like I did it. The eye that's talking right now, I feel like I'd start to move my hand and something would happen.
Linda, thanks.
I'm delighted. I could talk, you know, I could just go on and on. Hands are it for me.
Cartoonist Linda Barry. She recently published her illustrated notes and lesson plans from that creativity class she teaches. It's called Syllabus, Notes from an Accidental Professor.